Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? Or have you ever been really bored at work and wanted to listen to two dorks talk about something for about an hour and some change? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up the phone and call the professionals. The Raging Robot Partycast, Episode 10, Ghostbusters. All right, we made it to 10 episodes. To make it special, we're going to talk about something I know a whole lot about, which is Ghostbusters, because they just had a big old anniversary. That's Ryan. I'm Josh. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good.
All right.
How about you?
I'm doing okay. Been getting some good sleep lately, so that's good. My baby's out of daycare now, and we let her pick whatever restaurant she wanted to eat at in celebration. And so she picked Chamagaucha.
Very good.
Which is an expensive Brazilian steakhouse, if you don't know what that is. Because I guess my baby likes to eat and likes the finer things in life.
Yeah, I'll say, I'll give her credit for picking a good place.
Yeah, I would say so.
Wasn't Applebee's this time, at least? So.
No, thank God it was not Applebee's. She was, for context, obsessed with Applebee's for months on end when she was a lot younger. And I think she just knew like the symbology of apple and thought it was a funny word. And when we took her there, finally, to just get it out of her system, she was disappointed, and we got sick.
That's what happens when you drink $1 margaritas, though.
Yeah, I tried them. Not good.
No, it sucks. Though, did you see a little bit of San Antonio news here? The Chachos that was just down the road from us shut down?
Yeah, I honestly thought that place had been closed for a while.
Yeah, no. For those in San Antonio, it was a legendary establishment that had bullet holes in the second level, and you couldn't use the second level because of the bullet holes, because it would get too rowdy.
Yeah, I remember quite a few shootings occurring at this place since I've been here, and I've only been here... Okay, I've been here since 2008, so I've been here a while.
But yeah. It survived shootings and murders, but couldn't survive a grease fire.
Wow. That's what did it in, huh?
Yeah, it was kitchen caught on fire.
Jeez.
But beside the point.
Not a whole lot to update on since last time. I did complete my set of Mortal Kombat figures. I have Kano now, so I've got one of every character, and that's what I wanted to get accomplished, so I can stop if I want to.
So how'd you pull off Kano, then?
I've got this trick that a lot of people on eBay know about, which is find something that's been mislabeled. And they had recently uploaded it and labeled it Scorpion. And so I was like, swoop, and just buy it now before anybody else could get a hold of it. I famously also got a hold of a 95 or 97-ish Jack Specific WWF Raw set that those things are like hundreds of dollars online now, the mini rings, and they had mislabeled it as a board game, so I got that like super cheap compared to what collector's prices are. So pro tip, if you're in the toy biz collecting and all that, just look for stuff that nobody knew what it was.
All right. 30 seconds of wrestling things. I just saw this as I was scanning through Instagram randomly.
All right.
Did you see the new logo?
For?
SmackDown.
No. That sucks.
It does slightly. It's no longer SmackDown Live. It's a SmackDown. It's a silver smack. Then the D is part of the exclamation point and then down.
It looks like a PS2 blue. Game title.
Yeah, it's not great, but hey, Fox, it's cool to see it wrestling get on an actual proper network again. Well, not non-proper, but primetime.
Yeah, I'm holding my breath until AEW is airing so I can watch something else.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, let's see what happened. Big thing happening this week would have been E3. But
oh yeah, video games.
Not a lot was coming out this year. It's a lot of... excuse me for a moment.
I thought your mic was off, and I was about to be like, shit.
No. Sorry, I had to sneeze, but it went away.
Oh.
A lot of continuation stuff, or a lot of stuff that was announced last year getting release dates and stuff like that. The big four, of course, being Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves and Cyberpunk, which, cool.
Yeah.
That was a game I was already interested in anyway, so adding Keanu Reeves is fine by me.
Or at least these are the four saints of E3 this year. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is one of the saints. The creator of Bayonetta, forgive me, I'm unsure how to pronounce her name. But she came out during Bethesda and danced around on stage really cutely, so she ended up as one of the other saints.
Hideki Kamiya created Bayonetta.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Sorry.
He's the original Devil May Cry dude.
The Punisher, John Barenthal? Did I pronounce it? John Barenthal came out and he brought one of his dogs with him on stage.
I'm sure that got a nice reception because everybody loves dogs.
That was one of the saints, and the fourth saint being, well, Smash news, Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, a lot of people seemed excited about that. I was super late to the Nintendo 64 party and got one after it was long cold just to play the wrestling games on it. So,
yes.
A lot of good ones. One of those, I'm sorry.
No, a lot of good ones. Banjo-Kazooie, Goku in Smash. And
what?
Yeah, Goku's in there too.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I don't believe you, and I'm looking this up right now.
And a Dragon Quest?
Yeah.
Character.
Goku and Smash. Dragon Quest Ultimate, Super Smash. Okay, I guess that's real. All right.
So, yeah. Those are the big things. I was telling my friend, it feels like Kamiya screaming, basically.
Never ask me for anything ever again.
It's that, and the best way I find to describe it is there's a cyanide happiness bit, and you just chop off the very end of the bit that is the scientist getting mad and creating time travel. And it just shows him screaming as he's chunking, like he chunks science book and then a math book. And it ends on a lame him chunking the Bible and everything goes back to normal. But
like, oh, yeah, Masahiro Sakurai, he's the Smash dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the guy who wants you to never ask him for anything
ever again. And that's what I'm saying. This feels like the exact same energy of him just screaming, just chunking things. Every Smash character, every Smash level, here's the stupid characters you've been jokingly asking me for 20 years.
Wins Scorpion.
No, it still wins Luigi, but
he's still not in?
No. I kind of want to see Sharp FE characters in there. So they kind of are, but
I was about to say, Wind Snake. Oh. That happened. I had that game.
Yep. When are they going to put Autocon in? No.
Is it featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series already?
I think it might be. I can't remember if he is.
No, I guess that wouldn't make sense.
No, but I mean, he's...
Well, they got Bayonetta, and he's... That's just girl Dante.
Well, I was about to say, he's also still in Marvel vs. Capcom, so...
Yeah. This is true.
The Avengers game came out.
Yeah, I liked what I saw of that. I know that a lot of people were complaining about the likenesses, but it's just like, you know, those are probably expensive to obtain. And it's a whole different set of contracts. And B, it's so long as it's a good game, I don't care.
Yeah. Some Gears stuff, Gears of War 5.
That's still alive.
It is. Did you see the weird song that they used? No. I'll show you in between for
I
a new
not.
Mode that they created, a Gears escape room.
Escape room, eh?
Yeah, thing.
I assumed you were about to say Battle Royale.
No, that went into Fallout.
A game that doesn't work gets a Battle Royale mode.
Fallout 76. Hooray. Gets human NPCs, which is probably the biggest F-up ever in the history of gaming.
Yeah, it's an improvement.
It's an improvement, but just not having them from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, you need NPCs to be able to tell a story. You can't just read computer screens the whole entire time like they tried.
Yeah. Sounds like that would be absolutely desolate and boring.
But yeah, Doom Eternal. There are two or three others.
It just keeps persisting. And you know what? I'm glad, at least. I still like the originals. I haven't played any since the original, sadly.
Dragon Ball. Kakarot.
I don't trust that Dragon Ball game, but I hope it's good.
But the
I've been hurt too many times.
Dot Hack, a game I probably, or game slash franchise I probably hadn't heard in close to like 5 years before I read that name.
I loved the anime, the first season of it anyway. I've heard it's actually trash, but I remember liking it at the time.
Yeah, it could be.
It was the first of that sort of genre of, what if we're all logged into this game, but it's actually for real, and what if we die outside the game? Would we die in here? I don't know. And a bunch of stuff like that.
It has a proper name now, doesn't it?
Isekai or something?
Yeah, Isekai. Or,
which is what...
Sword Art Online.
Sword Art Online is...
Which
Speaking of Sword Art Online, shout out to Phantasy Star Online finally returning.
Yeah, ESO too.
I was like, ugh, yes! finally!
I believe we both mentioned on the podcast we were friends of the best friends for a while. And so, to say that Liam finally won the bet, and I was laughing because he pointed it out, is when they announced it, his view count, because he was streaming on Twitch, jumped
whoop.
Like 60, 80 people.
I wish I could say we were friends with the best friends.
Yeah.
We would be so much more popular right now.
Incredibly, we'd probably be more popular than they were. Oh, one of the reasons they ended the channel. But beside the point.
Sad face.
It is. But no.
I miss them all terribly, even though I know they still exist in other formats.
They do. So there were a few things announced there. Ubisoft decided to piss off every single Splinter Cell fan ever.
Why?
Did you not see that when I posted on Facebook?
The Smashy game thing? The mobile game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do now.
It is, and I'm not hating mobile games, and I wouldn't hate the mobile RPG like they announced. My issue is every single franchise that they announced in there currently has a game. Except for Splinter Cell.
Didn't Splinter Cell, like, end, though?
No.
Oh. Whoops.
I mean, Double Agent was there.
Okay. I really thought that ended with Conviction for some reason. But that's probably just the last one I played.
It may be. No. The last one... Well, no. Conviction came out, and we haven't had any games announced from that.
Okay.
Now, they could have just kept going after Conviction.
Gotcha.
But we got... backwards compatibility.
Always a good thing.
Yeah, so now we can... I can play the original Splinter Cell on my Xbox One. They at least gave us that. But it's been 3 years now that they've rumored a new game and haven't announced. Because it was that, and then he popped in Wildlands. So you had a single mission with him, which apparently was terrible mission where you just avoided guys...
That sounds like what he does.
It is. Well, apparently, like, for Wildlands, it was kind of a terrible mission. He popped up. He talked for, like, 30 seconds. He made a joke slash homage to Snake. And that's it. And the fact that it was Michael Ironside also playing Sam as this... Because Michael Ironside didn't play Sam in Conviction. Now, from what I know, that was medical reasons. So, okay, fine. But yeah, so they were releasing a mobile RPG in the Tom Clancy verse for Ubisoft.
I hope it features Hawks.
I was about to say, I think Splinter Cell and Hawks are the only two things that currently are not active. Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, the Ghost franchise, everything else is currently...
Just you and a squad of planes.
Yeah. Taking people down.
Let's see. Did I do anything gamey? I've been playing Mortal Kombat 9 story mode because apparently I did not ever play through as much of that as I thought I did. And it's been good. I do appreciate that it will adjust the difficulty eventually if you're just stuck. So, thanks. It doesn't tell you it's doing it, but it's obvious when you play it.
Yeah, I've been... Going back, Minecraft had an anniversary, so I've been going back and playing Minecraft a little bit.
Nice. I've literally never played it once in my entire life. It's completely missed the boat.
Very relaxing when you're doing it.
I can imagine. It's apparently like Legos, right?
Yeah. The way I describe it to my friends at work when they're asking me is, Minecraft is infinite Legos, and there's two ways to play. You can either play where, yeah, you do physically have infinite Legos.
Nice.
Or you can play where you have to earn your Legos.
Okay.
And so I play survival, earning your Legos. Do I necessarily play it that well? Eh, depends on what you want to do.
Is Terraria the same game?
There are a lot of things that are the exact same game.
Okay. So I never played that either, but I would see the toys for it and was like, what's this? It looks kind of interesting.
Roblox, Terraria, Lego has their own version now.
Yeah. Oh, Lego games. They've never changed.
They announced the Star Wars with all 9 games in it.
That sounds both fun and dreadful.
It is. But yeah, a lot of gaming news. We'll probably talk about a little more next week too, just to finish off and see so I can get a chance to look over everything that came out.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Like I said, Breath of the Wild gets a sequel.
Oh yeah, which I'm sure people are excited for. A lot of people really seem to like that game, and it's pretty gorgeous from everything I've seen of it. I've heard it's a game where you can just wander around and do whatever for hours, so it's the kind of thing that I absolutely should not play because I would do just that.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what we got on the docket today.
Well, I believe we already partially announced it in the very beginning to get to it.
Indeed we did, but I had to look up a specific number. So it's the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters, the original one. So we wanted to go ahead and knock out an all-encompassing Ghostbusters retrospective because it was pretty much my earliest fandom. It's the one thing that I really, really latched onto. Like, I had Masters of the Universe. It was around, but it was dead by the time I got to it because I was born way later. And I had a relationship with G.I. Joe that lasted for ages and ages and ages and is still kind of ongoing today. But, like, I completely missed the Sunbow cartoon and only saw the Bad Deke reversion of it later, which was not good. So, my relationship with that one was mostly the toys. But what I was there for everything for was Ghostbusters, because it persisted and it still persists today. There has been the movies, there have been the cartoons, there have been many a video game, some of them great, some of them not.
Yeah.
And it's really been something that's kind of shaped my interests and things that I'm into. Like, I don't know if not for Ghostbusters, if I would have ever known anything about the occult. Well, I guess that and X-Files. But it's like a fun way to look into things like that and kind of accidentally discover things that you didn't know you wanted to know. Let's see. So I actually started with the real Ghostbusters, which we had access to for a while, but Netflix has since taken it off. The good news is the real Ghostbusters is a great series. It was early on animated by TMS, which is pretty much Toei, I believe. Let me fact check that. But it lasted a good couple seasons, and there's a certain point where you can stop watching, and that's when it says Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters on it.
Yeah, I've seen a few of the episodes. I'm a bit younger, so I believe this was basically finished by the time I was old enough. I started with the original films.
Yeah, you did the backwards thing that I did.
Yeah.
So TMS is not Toei. TMS is Tokyo Movie Shinsa, which is a Japanese animation studio founded in 64, and they animated that series early on, and you can tell when they didn't. And there's a lot of good episodes that are written by comic legend J. Michael Straczynski. Always check those out if you see his name on the opening crawl, because it's going to be a good one. I remember the episode with the Grundle in it. He actually returns in the later series, Extreme Ghostbusters, which is cool that they continued that continuity onwards. But yeah, me and the real Ghostbusters, we go way back, to say the least. It came out the same year I was born, and so I did arrive a little bit late to that party. I did watch it on Saturday mornings when it aired, though, and that was probably just before Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters kicked off, and I think I did see some of those too, unfortunately. I got to experience the Happy Meal toys, which I missed the school supply ones, which seems so weird now to get school supplies in your Happy Meal. I guess that may be a thing they still do, but who knows. But I did have the cool bike accessories ones, which I can remember off the top of my head. The boss one you wanted was the Ecto-1 siren, which was a crank, and it would go when you did it. There was a pinwheel thing that had Ingon Spengler on it that would spin around for some reason. Don't know what the point of that one was, but it was there, and it looked kind of cool. And the Slimer horn, which was just a figural Slimer on a horn that went when you honked it. There must be one other one that I'm forgetting that I'm going to look up real quick. Let's see.
I think the last time we ended up seeing a few of these, I think two of them ended up running at an Alamo Drafthouse showing that I went to when they were doing Halloween cartoons.
Nice.
And they ran that. They ran a few episodes of Beetlejuice, Animaniacs, and two or three others, but yeah.
I wish I would have known about that. It's something I'd have liked to have gone to.
Yeah, it was fun. You just sat there and eat cereal and watch old 90s Saturday morning cartoons that people forget exist.
So it looks like the one that I did not have must have been some kind of variant of the PKE meter, which was a water bottle.
Okay.
It was yellow and it should have been blue, which is weird. But oh well, what can you do?
I may have had them at a point in time when I was younger, because
they were pretty ubiquitous. I remember other kids on the street definitely had those on their bikes.
My dad used to collect McDonald's toys.
Oh, nice. That was the time to do it, too, was back when they still had some semblance of like fun and good stuff going on. Seemed like they had a budget then.
Yeah, we had a...
Every now and then, they're surprising now, but...
You used to have the Transformers there. That was
ones based on the food?
Yeah.
Those were cool.
I had those for a little bit. But yeah, I've seen a few of these episodes. I know the legendariness of the show.
I'm trying to think of my favorite episode, but... I know that it's one of the ones that has an original song in it, and... It's the one with the electricity ghost.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it real quick. The big thing that I had a whole lot of when it came to Ghostbusters, especially the real Ghostbusters, was the toys. And they've all been lost to the year 2005, when I got rid of most of my stuff after I moved, sadly. But if you can name something out of that line, there is a solid chance I had it, because I was an only child and I was spoiled half to death. But it's Killer Watt. That's the name of that episode. I remembered it off the top of my head.
Very nice.
That is a good one. There's the Halloween door, which I don't think is a Straczynski one, but it's still pretty good because it's got Sam Hain in it, the Pumpkinhead dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wish we could have seen some episodes before we recorded. I did watch most of it with my daughter when they uploaded it a couple of years ago, and it's obviously gone now. But we have good news on that front coming your way in a little bit later on in the show. I think we can pause for a second.
All right, forgive us for a moment. And we're going. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen, right. But we're back.
We have a returned. We should have used that music cue. Oh, well.
That would have been perfect. So, one of the things we were discussing off for a second there was one of the big things about the real Ghostbusters. I remember this is Arsenio Hall being in it, and that was a big deal for the time.
Yeah, he was a big get. He was a pretty big name on TV at that moment in time, so it was not without its shortage of pretty famous voice actors as well. We did eventually get Dave Coulier as Dr. Venkman, which was a sour replacement for Lorenzo Music, also the voice of Garfield. Maurice LaMarche as Egon Spengler, who doesn't not look like Harold Ramis later in life. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Kath Soucy is a pretty famous voice actor as well. She was Janine for a while.
Frank Welker.
Oh, yeah. There. Frank Welker is Ray and most everything else, as is tradition for Frank Welker being on your show.
Yeah.
Roger
Bumpass, the voice of Squidward.
Oh, that's right. forgot that was him.
So yeah, there was the lineup of the 90s/early 2000s WB, Fox, Disney Afternoon. There was kind of a rotating lineup of voice actors in there that...
The second Winston voice, Buster Jones, is actually pretty famous as well. He was Black Vulcan and Super Friends, Blaster and Transformers, Doc and G.I. Joe, and he reprises his role in Extreme Ghostbusters, so that's okay. Cool.
Yeah, like, there's names in there that are pretty big. And there's names that, well, not necessarily names, but voices that a lot of kids know that they may have never known the name because, in all honesty, voice actors getting popular probably didn't pick up until the last, 10 years?
Yeah, and so. A lot of shows seem to pretty well share almost identical casts, so Frank Welker's in basically everything and still is.
Yeah, a lot of these are still going today.
Yeah, trying to think back on all the RGB stuff I had. I know for sure I had the role-playing Proton Pack, the Ghost Trap, which was awesome, and I was super sad when it finally broke years later. It had the little air pump thing for your foot that would open it up. I had the water squirting blaster. I actually did get a flight suit from the Army surplus store so I could have the brown jumpsuit. And pretty much not every version of each character, but I did at least have each character in various forms. Had the Ecto-1, Firehouse. I missed the Firehouse to this day. That was a fun playset. The Volkswagen Beetle that was haunted for some reason. The Highway Haunter, where you pushed a button and it popped up into a monster.
Okay. They had... I mean, nowadays, it's getting easier to find the stuff, because, I mean, if you go to a Spirit store, they're not cheap, but you can...
Yeah, you can get
the Ectoplex packs nowadays.
Yeah, the Proton Pack is, at Spirit's, pretty good looking. It's almost a one-to-one recreation from the movie. I think about going and checking it out every year and to see if they're on clearance after Halloween.
Only because I end up buying a Pip-Boy for a costume that I never use. That maybe next year I'll do it. But
cool. I didn't know they would have that there. My mic is falling.
Yeah, neither did I. I Googled it, I think. And because I work in a strip center.
There's That's gotta right, be a Ryan Strips.
Yep. No. There's got to be... at least one Spirit store in every single strip center in America.
Something must close so that there may be a Spirit store.
It is the law. Next time it's probably going to be Kohl's or Sears, but still.
Yeah, I noticed our Toys R Us is becoming a Conn's. Conn's is a electronics line out here, like a appliance and all that.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a shit replacement. I'm really upset about this.
Well, one of the other ones turned into a Gold's Gym, so...
Oh, the San Pedro one?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks, too. I didn't notice that one.
Yeah. But, so, of course, that... You mentioned a few of the games.
Yeah. I can for sure tell you about the Sega Genesis one, because I had that one very early on. It does have the theme, but no vocals, obviously. It doesn't really follow the movie at all. It's got Ray, Egon, Peter, and no Winston because somebody was racist. It does have the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It's got a boss that's kind of like Gozer, but isn't Gozer. And you fight each boss, which range from pretty interesting and paranormal and kind of cool to a living giant artichoke. I don't know.
All right.
It just sort of sheds all its artichoke bits and flings them at you.
I guess since Slimer was into food, they figured they'd get a food boss and just what was the easiest to animate, probably.
Yeah. Slimer is in the game. He will drop you a life or energy restoration power-up if you shoot him. For some reason, your other weapon is bombs. Just straight-up bombs. Like, cartoony fuse, light it and throw it, bombs. Which kill all the ghosts on screen. So, make even more property damage in the places you visit with some bombs. It's overall not a bad game for a licensed game of its time, though. It was always interesting to actually have to capture the, like, weirdly the spirit of the boss ghost at the end of each level. You have to, like, get it stuck in a actual tractor beam proton back blast thingy and suck it down in the ghost trap, which was sometimes kind of challenging. But otherwise, you don't get that kind of stream in the actual game unless you have a turbo controller. It just goes boop. So you have to upgrade your gun with a... Either you go to a item shop with a guy who kind of looks like Einstein, or you go to an item shop. I'm sorry, the weapon shop, rather, has the Einstein guy where you upgrade your stuff. And the item shop is a slightly insensitive Chinese man. And you buy Chinese food, which, you know, that's actually on brand. You do see them eat Chinese food in the movie. And your mom's and stuff there. So, good game. Emulate it if you're bored. The only other ones I can speak to playing are... let me think on it, because I don't think I ever honestly played the NES one. Just because it's not good.
Well, I was about to say NES, of course. I think it was one of the AVGN episodes.
It very much is. It looks like they did redeem that one with a Ghostbusters 2 game, which looked a lot better, but I think it only came out in Europe.
Okay.
But, yeah, missed that one completely. I have a copy of Extreme Ghostbusters for the Game Boy Advance. Everything about that should set off red flags for you, because it came out well after the show was over. And the game's actually pretty good. It's a little bit difficult. You've only got Eduardo and Kylie in it. But for being an absolutely baffling find in the 2000s in GameStop, recommended. And other than that, I have played the... I don't think I've ever played the arcade games. Well, yes, I have. I've played the more recent one, which... it's, if you've played any arcade shooter in recent years, it's just that. For some reason, it shoots ping pong balls at the screen, too.
Okay. I think me and my friends, like, rented the Wii version.
The Wii version's actually pretty good.
Or downloaded a demo of it, something. Yeah. I know we didn't have the full game, but I know we tried it at least.
Yeah, it's decent from what I've understood, but I had the 360 version and later the PS3 version as well, and that's a good game.
Is it?
It's okay. Pretty much just Gears of War except Ghostbusters.
All right.
It's got a lot of early cover in it, and you have to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Your proton pack will overheat as you use it, so you have to, like, discharge it to let it cool down. And you do upgrade that as well. But it's overall good. You play as, like, a nameless rookie character, so you get to be alongside the cast. And my mic just fell over, kind of. But that's a recommended game, and it's getting a re-release here coming up soon. So play the unofficial Ghostbusters 3 before we get the actual Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But, so all this happened, of course, and of course, what kicked it all off was the movie.
Yeah. Believe it or not, in my fandom, the movie was the first movie anyway, was the thing I saw last.
Okay.
For some reason, I don't know why it shook out that way, but I was a big fan of the cartoon, and this is an almost one-to-one identical story for, Ryan on the Rad Years has the same experience of, there's a movie?
Yeah.
So, enter a third Ryan into the story. Had my friend Ryan, childhood friend up the street, had the VHS and just let me borrow it one day in the late 90s because he knew I liked the cartoon. And it's like, you should probably, like, get around to watching this finally. And I was like, okay. And so I did, and I loved it.
Started by Dan Aykroyd, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis was the one that kind of came and reined the script back in. And I guess Rick Moranis did something, but he's uncredited. So I imagine he was punch-up or also had to...
I can see that.
Because I think Dan Aykroyd was, like, on coke at this point in time, so his scripts were known to...
I'm sure everybody was on coke
at this point. Yeah, basically everyone was. So his scripts were having to known to get, like, reeled back in a little bit and saved that way.
Well, Dan Aykroyd is also very passionate for real about the paranormal and occults in general, so.
Aliens. Yeah, he is an alien hunter that puts some money out there to try and prove the real. Drink Crystal Skull vodka, but.
Yeah, I think it's like he comes from a lineage of actual ghost hunters.
Nothing.
Yeah. So that's, I always thought that interesting when I found that out later. I was like, oh, I see why this happened.
Yep. Drink Crystal Skull, like I said.
I still need to try that one day. I don't like vodka is my problem.
So do I. No, the movie would have been what I would have seen first of everything.
Good place to start.
It is. It's a good movie.
Much better than starting with Filmation's Ghostbusters with a gorilla.
Yeah. Which is another story. So if you, forgive me, you notice that we kept using the title The Real Ghostbusters because there is another Ghostbusters show.
Which,
because I think they had the rights to the movie, but someone else owned the rights to the show.
Yeah, somebody else had the name because there was a 60s show called Ghostbusters, which had a gorilla that they later adapted in the 80s into a cartoon. So technically, they came first.
Yeah, trying to cash in on the name of Ghostbusters. If I remember correctly, the only reason that got adapted in the 80s is they're hoping kids would get confused.
Yeah, it could be. I want to say it still might predate them, but I'm not certain. I know that that was kind of the appeal of the toys, is some of them could play along with the real Ghostbuster stuff. But yeah, man, 84 movie just has so many like good scenes, good quotes. The score is amazing. Uses like apparently some instrument I've never heard of before that's like a theremin on a keyboard.
Okay. Yeah, the 84 movie is considered a kind of lightning in the bottle moment. It's kind of your, Animal House or Blues Brothers, which is, truth be told, as I think Dan Aykroyd helped with those too, but truth be told.
Belushi was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But he died.
Unfortunately. The lightning in the bottle of these legendary comedies, Caddyshack's also up there, that you can't recreate.
No, you really can't. It was, it's of its time, but it still holds up today. And I've noticed, like, well, no, we'll get into that later. But it's just, the soundtrack's good. All the dialogue is good. It famously made people hate William Atherton, even though he was just doing his job in a movie.
And he was semi-correct. He is one of the, like, number one with a bullet. Forgive us for a moment, people.
With the EPA.
Yeah, number one with a bullet of villains that were technically correct.
Technically. I mean, you still shouldn't have turned their stuff off.
No. You still don't bust into a laboratory and turn the stuff off. It's kind of like busting into a meth lab and going, I know what I'm doing, and throwing a match. But
yeah, not a good idea to do that.
No, but at the exact same time, they literally were running around New York with nuclear stuff. All right, we're going to take another pause a second. Hold on. All right, sorry, equipment malfunction over, but
yeah, my microphone went flaccid.
But we got up and running. This is, of course, one of Bill Murray's quintessential roles of... It's one of the ones where there are Murray's typical shtick, and it's funny, I've actually seen this in the recent years, a few people say that they don't do Bill Murray anymore. Because the lovable jerk really isn't something that exists in today's society anymore.
Yeah, I can see that.
That the jerk is oftentimes seen as a jerk, and, well, Bill Murray plays the lovable jerk, and I've seen it referred to as anti-hero. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but...
Yeah. I don't know. His character is, like...
Well, he's, I was about to say, he never becomes the lovable jerk in this film. He just stays the jerk the whole entire time. And it's one of the ones, much like Meatballs, where he does the exact same thing, where he never has a character arc. I mean, you can kind of say Sigourney Weaver in him, but...
Yeah. I mean, he's like... He's a jerk, but only to some people in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the guy he's running the test on. And keeps telling him he has the wrong answers, even though he does have the right answers psychically.
Yeah, and then Valentine's Day.
Contest. Yeah.
We lived to Valentine's Day 2009. What was it, 2017, 2016?
It was one of those. It was not long ago.
Yeah.
That was in 2.
But we lived through that.
We survived it. I know that one of the famous things is when he visits Dana Barrett's apartment and has to, like, tranquilize her with... however much Thorazine it was, it's like, why do you have that?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like something he should be carrying around. But, yeah, and Sigourney Weaver, props to her in this movie and every movie she's in. She is wonderful. She's got this weird otherworldly beauty about her.
She does.
And she gets attacked by her recliner, which was all practical, as was a lot of stuff in the movie, really. Her like kitchen is super haunted because it's the gateway to get to Gozer, so her eggs start frying on the counter, and the fridge opens up and reveals the portal thing.
Yeah, about to say, I couldn't remember if the portal joke was in this or the second one.
Yeah, it's definitely in the first.
Okay. But, as we said earlier, Aykroyd and Moranis kind of, they wrote the script, rest in peace, Harold Ramis, or you did really good. I really miss you. You were a fantastic comedic actor.
Yeah. He's just got that voice. Like, you just immediately know who it is. Even when he's directing in National Lampoon's Vacation and he's just got the cameo of the police guy off screen.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, that's Harold Ramis.
Aykroyd's more restrained in this role. He's playing the intellectual.
Yeah, I think he's just, like, the nice one.
He is.
And you got, so, kind of a jerk Han Solo would be Peter. Rey is, like, the nice, you know, the approachable one. Egon is the smart one. And I would say Winston is, like, the working man. He's, like, the everyman who's basically like you. Like, you're just sort of thrown into this and are here.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, do you believe in end times and biblical things and all that? And he goes, I'll believe anything as long as you're paying me.
I was about to say, Winston's the one that just kind of shows up. He's like, look, none of y'all know New York as good as I do. Y'all need me on the team.
Yeah. He's really good in that role. Ernie Hudson.
Probably Ernie Hudson's biggest role.
Yeah, I would say he's probably most known for this. And I've always had a place in my heart for him for being the police officer in The Crow.
Let's see, yeah. I forgot that he was in L.A.'s Finest and Arrow, but...
he gets around.
He does. And as we've already said, Sigourney Weaver rounds out the cast for the first one here.
Yep. She gets possessed and becomes a terror dog. As does her down-the-hallway neighbor, Louis Tully, who's an accountant.
Rick Moranis. We'll see if he ever comes back and starts acting again. He's talked about it, I think, and I think he's made cameos once or twice nowadays, but...
We'll see.
For the most part, he's...
I wouldn't mind. I'd welcome him back in anything, even things he wasn't in.
Well, I think they're... I think... Did Disney say they're thinking about doing another Shrunk the Kids?
Maybe. I could see Disney doing that. At the same time, I couldn't see Disney doing that, because they own everything else.
Another random television show... A movie that turned into a television show that a lot of people don't remember.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, man. It was. I kind of remember the TV show, honestly.
Yeah. Live action TV show.
Yeah.
Tremors was one of my favorites, but.
There were a lot of those throughout the 90s.
Then they tried to make another one with Kevin Bacon. Apparently it was actually really good, but sci-fi passed. That's not the point.
I've seen what they air, and I'm surprised they pass on anything.
Yeah. Well, you can only make so much money off of Sharknados. Then, unfortunately, we get to a dark spot. They ruined Ghostbusters. They destroyed it. I am, of course, referring to Ghostbusters 2 here.
I love Ghostbusters 2.
I know. I actually like it, too. But for a lot of people, the reason I was saying the lightning in the bottle only strikes once is this is kind of the example of the difference between trying to make, like, the real Ghostbusters, which actually managed to do it, and trying again and failing.
Yeah, I still really love Ghostbusters, too, and, like, it's just really good. Like, I don't see what everybody's beef with it is, and it was actually the first movie I saw, because I had it recorded from an ABC broadcast at some point in time, and I don't know why I never thought to seek out the first one at that point, but I don't know. I had only occasional fleeting moments of brilliance as a child. So, I wish I still had that VHS. I would love to watch it, actually. But Ghostbusters 2 was good, man. It had Peter McNichol as Janosch Poha. The blonde terrorist from Die Hard was the villain Viggo the Carpathian, who was apparently a dick on set.
Yeah. Peter McNichol.
Yeah, Peter McNichol is cool. He's from the Upper West Side.
Wilhelm von Humbug, I believe is who you're referring to.
Yeah.
He was, again, same cast.
I mean, I'm just like, this movie has a disenfranchised Ghostbusters who are doing birthday parties. It's got a banging soundtrack. It's got everybody back. It's got them piloting the Statue of Liberty with a Super... not a Super Nintendo, but a Nintendo Advantage controller. What's not to love?
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, had issues, and there are a lot of things that are small points that you can say. A nostalgia critic very famously brought up the fact that, in all honesty, seeing the Ghostbusters be disenfranchised and seeing how that happened would have been more interesting, because they don't just get disenfranchised, they get disproven.
Yeah.
Like, somehow the EPA guy makes the claim that they gassed literally everyone in New York City and that Stay Puft Man never happened.
Well, he has no dick, so why are we going to believe him?
Yeah. It is true, sir. And the, what is it? Cats and dogs living together.
Oh, mass hysteria. Yeah.
Real biblical shit, sir. But yes.
I have seen some shit that will turn your ass white.
This is where, yeah. A lot of people just, they tried again. It didn't work out nearly as well. And
people should just be nice to Ghostbusters 2. I will straight up, like, soapbox stand for Ghostbusters 2 all day. It's fun. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like the only New Year's movie until that actual New Year's movie came out. But I don't count that, even though it's in the title. It's the only New Year's movie, Ryan.
It is. There are different things, and then, as we said, the other one that came out, I entirely ignored it. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I have seen Ghostbusters that came out in 2016, and you know what? It's fine.
The female-led Ghostbusters. That's
probably going to get me lit up, but I don't really care. Like, it was perfectly okay. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just there. And had it been, like, anything other than what it was, I kind of wish they would have incorporated it not as a reboot, but rather as an extended part of what's already happened. I think that would have gotten over more than what they did do.
So, yes, we're, of course, talking about the female Ghostbusters, Melissa McCarthy.
We got Melissa McCarthy and, oh, my God, I forgot everybody.
Kristen Wiig. Kate McKenna and Leslie Jones.
Now, I was trying to think of Kate McKenna and Leslie Jones because I just saw them in something recently.
And Chris Hemsworth.
Yes. Chris Hemsworth in one of the roles that I think is underplayed in Hollywood, because you always get like a like really pretty girl who's not smart or whatever. And I think there should be the same, but it's a dude. And Chris Hemsworth plays exactly that. And you know what? God bless him for it, because he clearly had fun doing that.
I was about to say, a lot of people basically say that like he was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I mean,
him and Kate McKenna, and a lot of it, from what I understand and hear about it, is it's not on the actresses.
No, they did fine.
It is on the script, yeah, more than anything.
It's a pretty weak script, and it's got a pretty weak villain, all in all. But again, if it had been a direct continuation of the events of Ghostbusters, it would have been a fine movie. Like, it would have been okay to just have that kind of throwaway villain instead of what trying they to had, for, yeah.
Yeah. Paul Feig.
Yeah, but it's worth seeing if it's streaming on something. I don't think it deserved the hate it got. It brought us back Ecto Cooler, so thank you. I'm hoping that the next Ghostbusters film does the same. Did you try any of the junk food from Ghostbusters 16?
Yeah.
Man, the Stay Puft Twinkies, delicious.
Were they?
I don't even like Twinkies that much. And they were like, like, it tasted like you were eating something fancy, but you knew you were eating a Twinkie. It had, like, white fudge covering it.
Okay.
It was honestly super good. I had a whole box of them at work and just ate them all to myself. I kind of wish I'd stacked up on them when they were still out. Yeah, that movie's fine. It brought us, you know, a lot of new merch and everything, so it's always a good thing.
Now, it has soured a lot of people on the Ghostbusters fandom, unfortunately.
Yeah, rightfully so. I really want to say that a lot of the people who are like, there shouldn't be girl Ghostbusters, aren't really Ghostbusters fans so much as they're just bros, basically.
Yeah, and Paul Feig has come out, and there's a question of whether or not Paul Feig and Leslie Jode on Twitter have hurt more than they've ever helped the film in their defenses. I've seen Paul Feig definitely come out and say, he's like, yes, I will admit, maybe franchise fatigue, I maybe shouldn't have used the Ghostbusters name and tried to go for something original. But he defended essentially saying that the fact that I cast for the biggest female comedy names, which, truth be told, is the exact same thing that the other film did, was not the bad decision. Yeah, you could hit on the fact that it was an unnecessary reboot. Yeah, you can hit on my script. I will admit that wasn't my best work.
No, again, it's got a pretty weak script, but it's still decent fun. I don't like the CGI effect on the ghosts. It looks too, like they're interacting with a video game. But I know that the next one's going to have a lot of more practical-ish effects going on and kind of taking it back to what it was in terms of the visuals, so we'll see. But yeah, it's got its moments. It's a fine movie. It's not a great movie, but it's a fine movie.
And to move on up to it, as he just mentioned, they have since announced Ghostbusters 3, I guess?
Pretty much.
We don't know the official name yet. We know that it is in canon.
Yeah.
We know that
we got everybody who's alive coming back.
Except Moranis, but we'll see.
Well, yeah, to be determined.
To be determined, as we were saying earlier with Rick Moranis, he is very reasonably stopped acting to take care of his family.
Yeah. So the Gatekeeper and the Keymaster, they definitely boned, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Cause
now, I think it's in a dog form, but yeah.
That's kind of a weird summon. I have to have these two terrifying dogs to bone before I can come out.
Yes.
Weird flex, Gozer, but okay.
Also, I would have loved to see, like, more mental effects happening to Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she's got to be pretty messed up after all that.
Both her and Rick Moranis, like, every single time they see a dog, like, run into a wall or something. That would have been something fun to explore.
Yeah.
So one of the other things we ignored, well, to say it, I think we know Finn Wolfhard is in the next one. So one of the kids from
Stranger Things,
the lead kid.
Finger Strengths.
Yeah. Forgive me. I will admit, I didn't watch a lot of those films, so I've only seen season one of Stranger Things. I know that's blasphemy for
someone my age, but it's decent.
It really does take four episodes for that series to get going. If you don't have that nostalgic feel of, oh, it's E.T. and it's the Goonies. Yeah. If that's not there, Stranger Things takes four episodes to start before I'm like, I'm only basically still watching because I know my friends will get too mad if I stop now. I think I own it on Blu-ray just because it was $5 to buy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I have to sneeze.
But we know that.
Bless me, damn it.
I was saying, bless you. No. Real quick sidebar.
Yes.
I was trained to say bless me after if no one says bless you. Does that seem weird? Like, I've seen people on the internet make fun of that before. It's a narcissistic thing.
But I don't know if you're supposed to do that.
That's just what I was taught to do. If no one says bless you, then you say bless me. People, like, take us this weird narcissistic thing, and people have made fun of me at work for saying it. Like, why do you say that? I'm like, it's just what I was taught to do. Nobody else did, man. Yeah. Right now it's listed as Untitled Ghost Project.
Untitled Ghost Project. I hope they keep that title.
And Mackenzie Grace is in there.
Okay.
Who I guess played the young Tanya Harding in I, Tanya. And the young Captain Marvel.
I know that...
But yeah,
that was the worst I've ever been. Wow.
Thus far, the only scene we've seen is they show the original.
Yeah, they just show the Ecto-1.
The Ecto-1, and it has the theme from the library, which is a fantastic score.
Yeah, shout out to Elmer Bernstein, I believe.
Yeah.
Before Toys R Us closed, I regretted not cleaning out all their Ghostbusters stuff, honestly, because that was the time to do it. Believe it or not, their 2016 Ghostbusters Minimates sold out before I could actually get to them.
Okay.
Which is surprising that anybody ever picked them up with as much venom as that movie got for no reason. But I was like, you know what? I have all the other ones. I may as well get these and just add them in. What I was about to say before I just trailed off into nothing was it seems like they're doing like a next generation thing with this movie, and I'm cool with that, but you know who I wish it was.
Yeah, I know. Now, to say it, do you think, what is it? One of the things we kind of accidentally jumped over it, I realize now. But I went back and watched, because there is one series that's still available to watch, which is Extreme Ghostbusters.
And you know what? That series absolutely slaps. Everybody always makes fun of it because it seems like it's a like 90s extreme product that you should like riff on. But that show's good. It's like really good.
It is. And I was laughing because it's a failed joke and it's played as a failed joke, but it literally opens basically on a cripple joke.
Yeah, it gets a lot of flack for having characters that are like, oh, they're so PC because they're so diverse and different. But it's like, yeah, but that's just people, though.
Yeah, that's just what it is. In all honesty, if you remove the kid out of the wheelchair, there would be no PC complaints, probably.
Yeah, and like he's a jock anyway. It's like he's not limited by it, really.
No.
He just has to get in and out of it when he gets in and out of the car. And sometimes if they're on a roof, he might take a little bit to get up there, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So long as they've got an elevator or whatever, he's good. But yeah, it's such a good show, man, that I regret that it never went past that one season. Honestly, I don't know if it was supposed to, because it seems like they pretty definitively end it.
Now, do you think they would follow the canon of this for the next film? I doubt it.
I would like that, just because I always thought the Extreme Ghostbusters origin was pretty cool, that Egon Spengler was teaching class following through with the Ghostbusters have been disbanded following the events of 2, because that show is canon. And it's canon with both the movies and the previous cartoon, seemingly, which is weird, but that's kind of how that continuity went for a while. But I wish that they would, because I always liked that the new crew is essentially just kids who were taking Egon Spengler's class. And you know what? They get conscripted into doing it, because there's only 4 of them, and boom, there you go.
There's one weird thing about that show that was in the first episode, which is...
Is it the sex joke?
No, forgive me. It is... Janie Mielnitz, the secretary. Janine, the secretary, is implied to have a romance with Egon. And so did that happen in the cartoon?
Yes and no. It was hinted at in the first movie with her apparently enjoying him being under her desk.
Yeah.
And her seemingly pining after him. But then he gets replaced by Lewis, which is a... I mean, I love Rick Moranis, but come on, man.
That's what I was about to say, is in the canon of the film, she goes with Lewis in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah. So, so I guess maybe Lewis, like, went off to an accounting convention and never came back. So they got together ultimately. I will play what I thought you were referring to right now. It's unfortunately not on the board.
man, is he gonna tick to you for taking that vegan thing?
Are you happy to see me, Eduardo?
Sure.
Because I'm really happy to see you. From the first time I saw you in the lecture hall, I felt an attraction. Did you feel it too?
Well, I don't know, sort of. I mean, you could stand to put on a couple of pounds.
A good-looking guy like you is really hard to resist. Kiss me, Eduardo. I want you to.
Back off, Eduardo! Why? She's legal. She's a ghost.
So, yeah. I was saying to somebody earlier today, before when I knew that we were going to do this and mention Extreme Ghostbusters, that I was like, they flew a lot of adult stuff under the radar. And I'm like, no, they pretty much just buzzed the tower Top Gun style with their adult references in the show.
Well, this is a franchise that does have a ghost blowjob joke in it, so...
Yeah, it does.
In the first movie with Dan Aykroyd, which is still one of the most awkward moments in cinema history.
Yeah, I didn't understand it the first time I saw it. And then later in life, I understood it. And now even further later in life, I'm like, would you even feel anything?
Yeah. Who knows? But this is probably...
I don't know.
Maybe. Ghostbusters is probably definitely something we're going to come back to in the future. Well, not probably. Definitely will.
Oh, we'll be back. But, man, like, there's just so much that I want to talk about as it relates to Ghostbusters. It was... The Extreme Ghostbusters was one of the few toy lines I had everything of. It was one that was... we mentioned Trendmasters on the last show. They made everything for it. Had the best Ecto-1 toy. It makes the actual siren sound and lights. Had the proton pack, even though I was way too old for it by that point. Did not fit well. So, basically, I had every figure and every variant. And it is kind of messed up that they never released Garrett. Because Garrett is the character in the wheelchair. There are prototypes for him, but they never came out. So, I don't know what happens. But yeah, I love that show. It is on Hulu. Watch it right now. I discovered today that there is a basically official Instagram page for Extreme Ghostbusters that points to their official website that is on Sony, as well as the Hulu page for it. So did not expect to find them there. We tried to access the original website earlier today because I remember wasting a lot of time as a child on that site. Because eventually it had, like, Flash games and everything on it.
Okay.
It's not there anymore, but it is archived on archive.org. So it's there, but parts of it probably won't work. Trying to see if there's anything else that I can get into. I know that we have for sure covered Ghostbusters 1. Again, Walter Peck, he had no dick. He opened up the containment unit. And it was bad for everybody. The Real Ghostbusters, my first love. Gotta have anything to do with The Real Ghostbusters. You said the DVD set was cheap?
40, 30 bucks.
I wonder if it's complete, though.
It's saying series. Like, it doesn't seem like it had seasons. It seems like it got released in parts. So,
yeah.
The $30 one, forgive me, is 1 through 5. And then the $40 one has 1 through 6.
I wonder if it's the Time Life releases, because that was the only way you could get it for a long time.
It, at least it's out there and exists. There are shows out there that...
I'm sure it's archived on one of the KISS sites, kiss.ru/ super give you all the viruses, but I'll watch stuff on it anyway.
Yeah. See, The Real Ghostbusters complete series. I mean, let's see... What is it? $199 per season. So probably $199 per episode on Ghost.
Ooh. It's a long runner, so it's
it is let's see stiff. If I can look up the price. Yeah, Amazon's app is kinda weird. You can't buy videos on the app, you can only buy videos on the website.
That's weird.
It is. So I'm interested to see the price. Not the real...
Well, you're probably searching for not the real Ghostbusters.
No, the Real Housewives is what just wanted me to buy. Oh,
no.
So $9.99 for the first season.
Okay. That's Prime Video?
Yeah.
Okay, so at least it is, like, archived somewhere.
It's out there. You can legally buy it. $9.99 per season, it looks like. So okay. That's $90.
Definitely don't have to buy all of them, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything else Ghostbusters adjacent that you've got?
Not that I can really think of right now.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about Not a Real Drug versus Ghostbusters theme?
Sure. Why not? It was almost like the Vanilla Ice case.
Yeah. Not nearly stupid, but yeah. Ghostbusters did end up getting sued at one point in time for the original theme.
Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters.
Yes. For borrowing I Want a New Drug.
And apparently they wanted Huey Lewis to do the theme originally. And I guess he wouldn't for reasons.
I imagine they asked him probably too much money.
Yeah, that would make sense. He was doing big things back then.
And then they handed it to Ray Parker Jr., said, make it like this, and...
He did.
He may have borrowed. And when you listen to them back-to-back, it's fairly close.
Yeah, they're similar, but I mean, it's like, at the end of the day, they're both very different songs.
It is. I do think it is, like, one of the landmark cases in...
Copyright
infringement laws.
Yeah. I've seen some, speaking of copyright infringement... There is a set of Real Ghostbusters bootlegs, and do you know what they're called?
Not Real Ghostbusters bootlegs, or what?
No, that would be awesome, though. Spook Chasers.
Okay.
And they're just the original Kenner molds. Some of them very, very slightly different, but for the most part, exactly the same. Fairly convincing bootlegs if you don't know that the Real Ghostbusters isn't called Spook Chasers.
Okay, I can see that.
It's like, oh, what's my kid into? That spook chases?
Someone describing something there.
Yeah. Let me think. What's your favorite scene in the first Ghostbusters?
You always gotta love Inside the Mayor's Office.
Yeah.
Which is, we mentioned it several times. It's true, this man doesn't have no dick. Real biblical shit, sir. Cat and raining fire, cat and dogs being friends. Real biblical shit, sir. And like the fact that the mayor even like straight up just calls in a priest to be like, "What is happening?"
Like, I think it's understated like what a big deal this movie was. Like, they had to make merchandise for it because everything out there at the time was bootleg, and they were like, "We could be making money off this. We should get on it." Trying to see if I can find favorite quotes. What do you think about Gozer as the final boss?
I think Gozer does a good enough job.
I like Gozer because I liked that it was like a completely asexual being. It's like whatever it chooses to be, basically.
Yeah.
So it just sort of looks in between.
Gozer's fine. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I think.
Even better.
That's always going to be iconic.
Tells her, let's show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown.
You know, the very famous and what will now and forever be a joke in a boys' bathroom locker room. Don't cross your streams.
Yes. Of course, Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say, yes! Oh, man.
And again, a lot of this is, like, if you watch it on Bill Murray's delivery.
Yeah, of course. I can kind of get back into Extreme Ghostbusters a little bit, just because I love it so much, and it's the greatest cartoon nobody watched.
Yeah.
It actually ran on Sci-Fi Channel for a little bit on Saturday mornings. It was part of the Bobot Kids Network, which is a syndication package that ran in different markets. So I think it was indeed on our WB affiliate, which is ironic because it shares that same look with so many different WB era shows like Men in Black the series and the Godzilla cartoon, which I think was on Fox. And I don't know if it was related to Mummies Alive or not too, but those all had the same showrunner, and it shows because the art style is so similar.
Yeah.
A lot of very adult material in the show. It has that one ending sequence that is downright terrifying if you're not expecting it. They do later change it to just not being ungodly screeches and wails with creepy line art to a song. It does not use the original song anywhere. It has its own version, which is... Eh. It's okay.
Another quick thing to mention about 2016. Mm-hmm. Fall Out Boy.
Yeah,
yes,
no.
No
bueno.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's... I think Fall Out Boy could have done a good job, but yeah, just no.
No, you did a bad job, Fall Out Boy. You did a bad job.
I'm about to say, I don't know. The song's just bad. Like, it's not Fall Out Boy is bad. We're not hating on Fall Out Boy. I know that happens a lot. The song's just bad.
Yeah, there was a time when Fall Out Boy was fine. That time has passed.
You're saying that even as they're basically having a resurgence right now, but...
Yeah, I mean, they're still making music, but it's just, it's not
good. Well, I mean, they charted top 10 last year, so.
I know they're on the charts, but I don't think anything pre-2003 to 2005 Fall Out Boy will be good.
No, I know.
I never even liked them that much back then, but they had some bangers. I was an emo kid, leave me alone.
Well, hey, Black Parade, but.
Black Parade slaps, but that was My Chemical Romance.
Was that?
Yes.
I know. Wait, Sin's not tragic, just Fall Out Boy.
That was Panic at the Disco, so right?
I'm sorry. I've been working 7 days straight. My brain's freshly fried.
But... Yeah, I can tell we're both just like fading on this show. But for all the like PC backlash that Extreme Ghostbusters got, like, nobody's really played up as what they are for some reason. Everybody's pretty much against the stereotype that they are. And I don't even know that at that point they are a stereotype. Like, Roland is the African-American one. He's played by Alfonso Ribeiro, who is Carlton from Fresh Prince. And he is like the mechanically inclined one. He can fix everything. He can work on the equipment.
That's also kind of a fun thing, which is they all four of the students got in there for the first thing. So Roland literally is like, I want to see the proton packs, basically. Yeah. That's why Roland joined the class.
That's what he was there for. It's funny that the episode Fear Itself, where they actually have to fight Fear Itself, his fear was the equipment malfunctioning. And by malfunctioning, it just turns into a weird monster. So the like proton pack just jumps off his back and it's crawling around all weird. Kylie Griffin, played by Tara Strong, it's one of her early roles, has very much a New York accent. She's a goth girl. One of my first crushes.
She ends up taking the class just because she is the one that actually likes ghosts and believes in ghosts.
Yeah, she wants to use a certain device that Egon has to contact her dead grandmother.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I would do the same. We got Eduardo Rivera, played by, it's not the Rocco guy, it's somebody else whose name I'm forgetting. Bear with me because it's on the tip of my tongue.
Now you got Eduardo takes the class just because it's a cake course and he thinks it'll be an easy A. He wants nothing to do with ghostbusting.
Yeah. He's there for the easy A. All I'm getting for Eduardo Rivera is a baseball guy.
Reno Romano.
Yes, that's him. Okay. Reno Romano is a voice actor who also gets around, and I was initially mixing him up with Carlos Azaraki, who was on, he was Rocco on Rocco's Modern Life, and okay. He was on Reno 911.
Okay, Luis Salazar on Resident Evil 4.
That checks up.
And Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
Though I don't think we hear him talk much in that, but...
Yeah.
And... Oh, he was Batman for the Batman?
Really? No, that checks out too.
Yeah, he was the Batman, and he was Batman in the Batman. an interesting cartoon we'll talk about one day because I got bored and marathoned all that one.
Yeah.
But
I've got the prototype figure pulled up for Garrett. I'm guessing maybe it didn't come out just for cost reasons. It obviously would have been a deluxe.
Yeah.
It looks like it has all the light and sound gimmicks on it that the deluxe figures had.
Okay. I'm about to say that's a bit more than what he is in the show, at least in the first episode.
Yeah, the deluxe figures by Trendmasters all had absolutely spine-breaking things all strapped to them that had lights and sound. So this basically puts Garrick in like a Professor X chair with big old proton guns on it. Garrett Miller, for the life of me, I don't remember who his voice is.
Jason Marsden.
Jason Marsden is absolutely right. He is pretty much the jock of the group. He plays basketball. He is quite good at it. And, like, even though he is in a wheelchair, he is never in any way shown to be, like, hindered by it, basically. One of the better, like, woke episodes they did was there's, like, a group of basically neo-Nazis who attack a synagogue. And there is an actual golem that protects it that comes to life and, like, kills them. And they have to go investigate that.
Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff on that. And, of course, the finale, I believe, is Back in the Saddle, Part 1 and 2, where the real Ghostbusters reunite. And at first, they're kind of shitty to the new group. And just sort of like, you're all kids, blah, blah, blah. But by the second one, they're all in it together and take care of this crazy, weird Lovecraftian threat. It's a really good show. It was not streaming anywhere for a long time. I've got a very dubious bootleg DVD set of it that clearly somebody just made at their house that I bought on some shady website years ago.
You say that, but my DVD set that I own of Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century, to talk about a deep cartoon real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Physically comes with paper covers over the DVDs. Like, it's there's no booklet or anything. It's a hardcover, and you open it up, and tucked inside are physical, actually paper over the DVDs.
Yeah, I've gotten some sets like that.
And that is an official release that I bought at the bookstore. I bought it $5 or half-price books.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to how the Ultraman release is for the U.S. The original Ultraman, not the current Netflix one.
Yeah.
We never went to the shill zone, so I guess I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, about to say. If you want to close it out on that.
Is this on Ghostbusters thing?
Yeah, third one.
Hey, welcome to the show zone, where I probably broke something on the board.
No, you're good.
So this is a part of the show where we let our mental capacity take a brief break and let you know what's basically available for you to purchase if you're so inclined. We have our Redbubble shop still going, redbubble.com/r-r-partycast. You can buy shirts, stickers, mugs, a weird pillow that nobody should buy, but I insisted on making. We still have our Patreon, patreon.com/RagingRobotPartyCast. If you subscribe, you will get a sticker. Thinking about maybe in the future making us something more tangible, like buttons or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty cool. It looks like Sticker Mule does that as a service, so may make some new graphics and get them on there. That's pretty much the entirety of the show. So I'm still again working on a TeePublic site, which may replace our Redbubble.
Okay. But yeah, if you want to do that and help us out for free, once again, I'm sorry. I know people hate this and it's annoying, but please do like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, send us an email, man. We haven't had an email in forever, since, like, way early in. Our email is, of course, RagingRobotPartyCast@gmail.com. The Instagram's still kicking. Did some toy pictures on it throughout the week there. Seemingly got a lot of eyes on them, so cool. did not even think they were all that good, but thanks. And as always, our updates will be on there and on our Facebook group. Maybe one day we'll tweet something.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts on Ghostbusters?
I love Ghostbusters very dearly, and I don't think I played that up enough. It's been with me since as long as I can remember. It's been an absolute constant. If new stuff comes out for the new movie, I want it. It seems like... I know that Little Golden Books, you remember those when you were a kid?
Yeah.
They have those for everything now.
Do they?
And they have one for the first Ghostbusters movie that I have put my daughter to bed with, which is crazy. I'm going to get her the Jurassic Park one coming up soon, too. But it's just so weird that, like, it's been around forever, and clearly they knew what they were doing because it's persisted this long, and it's absolutely etched in pop culture. You can't get away from it. You know that logo, even if you haven't seen the movie. You know exactly what it is.
You know the logo. You know the theme, probably.
You know probably most of the songs from it somehow.
Yeah.
Good cartoons. Awesome toys. I'm curious to see what Mattel will continue to do if they still have the rights. I know that they made those Mego-style cloth clothes figures not too long ago, which were neat, based on the real Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Did not get those because they were too rich for my blood. One day I'll get one of those spirit Halloween packs and tool around the neighborhood with it, maybe.
Yeah.
Going door to door like, I'm ready to believe you, and they'll just slam the door in my face. but yeah, Ghostbusters. It's a pretty good movie. You should watch it.
It is. Check it out.
Watch all of them. Even 2. I love 2. Watch 2016 as well, because it's fine.
All right.
I love Ghostbusters, damn it.